Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 1st of July, recording at a late 10:26 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. But first, just the highlights. And there was one extremely important one. The U.S. dollar was very strong in here today. The excuse for that strength was the ISM manufacturing data, which came in a couple of points higher, just over 2 points higher than expected. The University of Michigan confidence figure was also up. But as I say, that's really just the excuse. The dollar has been firm, as you know, in here, and there had been no evidence that the rally was over, but it had paused and ranged for 14 days beneath that psychological 90 level on the U.S. dollar index, where there was, sort of round a phobia and lateral resistance. Well, it blasted up out of that trading range today and closed a little bit above the 90 level, and that sent a bit of a shockwave through the metal markets, put gold down 8, put silver down quite a bit as well, and generally hit those markets. Additionally, the U.S. bonds closed quite weak in here today, down 104 points. That's quite a big move. Now, I put those in the crunch charts to look at. One that I left out, also important here today, is that oil rebounded quite strongly, up to 25 at 58.75, so not dead yet, and certainly in as far as the oil market is concerned. Lastly, so in the crunch charts here, these industrial metals, which have been looking a bit tired recently, were also pulled lower sharply in a couple of instances. Okay, first the big picture outlook on stock markets. You know that I feel this is a risky period in here, not least because of the U.S. interest rate cycle. And I would not be surprised if we didn't see a further sell-off occur in here. Now, like other questions are, though, would oil come down enough? Would bonds remain firm enough? Would expectations regarding interest rates be moderate enough? Would liquidity be substantial enough just to keep the U.S. market on the boil for a little while longer, keep it ranging sideways, in other words, in which case the leash that I have referred to would be let out, allowing other markets to romp. And certainly the European markets have been in form recently. India has been very much in form recently. We had seen Australia rally right back up to and through its earlier high. So those are the question marks. But suffice it to say that in terms of risks, that well, I've described it for stock markets as a little bit like a ship in a science fiction film passing through an asteroid belt. Here, or a meteor zone, it's a little bit hazardous here compared to what we were used to in 2003 and much of 2004. Now, that doesn't mean it's abandoned ships all around. As a matter of fact, what I've abandoned recently were the loss-making hedge positions, I guess because that was proving expensive, whereas things like the India fund, also the energy funds, so on, were just romping, pushing steadily higher. Now, but to step back in terms of this big picture here, I do regard this as a hazardous period, and maybe things will improve in the seasonal period when we get past October. That would might well be more favorable. I think 19, I beg your pardon, 2006 will be an even more dangerous year. This is for historical factors largely relating to the U.S. interest rate cycle and when the record going over the last century is that Wall Street's least good year, and often we've seen the worst down years in the second year of a new presidential election term, which would be 2006. Well, we'll see, as they say. But in terms of actual preferences in here, I think it's very much Asia, but some of those Asian markets are just ranging around in a not very productive fashion. Now, in terms of outright performance, it is India. But India is not as cheap as it was. I don't think it's all that expensive, but it's a lot more expensive than some of the Asian markets, which offer really quite attractive ratings. Now, for instance, Thailand right now is on a PE ratio. This is the Thai SET index, is on a rating of PE ratio rather of 9.82%, and the yield is a attractive 3.89%. So multiples of under 10, and on average, and a PE, I beg your pardon, a yield that's pushing up towards 4%. India, for instance, or by comparison, is on a PE of over 15, and the yield is considerably less, under 2%. So the Thai market offers the better value. Singapore, among developed markets, certainly offers the better value, and it's been a very steady performer here overall. But India is very much the overall flavor. As you may know, it's a market that I've liked a lot since March 2003, and it was certainly running as a co-favorite or second favorite to Thailand in 2003, and then got upgraded to my absolutely favorite market for the long term, and it's getting the additional benefit of disappointment over China. So if people want a really big country, interesting story in Asia, well, the China money has been coming out of China and going into India, or a lot of it. And if you look at Christopher Wood's Greed and Fear report today, that I noticed that he was saying that China is the best Asian story currently going by far. And obviously I concur with that, although I am loath myself to pay up for more India. Christopher Wood made the point that investment managers around the globe have been waiting for months for India to pull back so they could get on board. And of course, it hasn't pulled back. Well, that's one of the reasons. When they eventually all capitulate and come in and pick it up, then the market will be very ripe for a pullback and reaction. But I'm probably not going to try to time this unless or time a reaction unless it does anything really silly. Will there be periodic shakeouts from time to time? Of course there will. There always will be. And the bigger the advance in the meanwhile, the bigger the advance, the greater the reaction is likely to be when it finally occurs. As far as the sleepers are concerned in Asia, in my self-administered pension fund and in some of the ISA funds, I'm not at all worried about sitting with Thailand, which I expect to be certainly boring for a while longer, but those valuations are too attractive for me to actually be worried about it. So that's where my main investments are, Asia and also in resources. I'm quite relaxed also about the Investec Global Energy Fund, at least for the short to medium term. I have expressed some concerns over some of the forecasts that I've seen regarding oil moving much lower at some point in the next few years. Well, much lower, say going back under the $30 level. Well, that would be halving the price practically. So indeed, that would be an extremely big move and extremely bearish for for oil shares. Now, I moderate that concern somewhat because people have been talking about oil going back down below $30 for the last 2 years, and I've regarded it really as a contrary indicator. But some of the evidence in the long-term history of commodity cycles and so on does make me a bit wary at this stage, as you know, but I don't think there's any reason to be too worried about this overall. And what else to mention here regarding markets? Gold and gold shares. Well, I've said all along that, well, gold did a very good job of resisting a dollar rally in June, that the dollar was going to be an important factor, and if we get a major breakout on the upside by the dollar, which we saw today, then inevitably that's going to weigh on the gold market, but I don't think it'll keep it down for very long. And I still find those gold shares interesting, but they're not up in the top tier category, either on valuations or potential overall. Anytime, well, over the next few years, my feeling is. So my top priorities be Asian emerging markets led by India. Still like that energy fund enormously. The golds are more speculative. Bullion, very safe. I think good monetary investment. Silver came back a lot in here today. I will. Well, no, I've got bids under the market. I got within 5 cents of one of my bids, and I would have liked to have seen it be touched. Otherwise, if silver were to pop back up again, it closed at 6.93 in here today on the September contract, so it's down quite a bit. But if I were unable to pick some up down here and we did see the market push back up, then I would be disappointed. Of course, the market isn't going to push back up unless we actually see that dollar come off the boil. Or at least, it doesn't have to come down a lot, but it does need to go back into a trading range. Now, the China story and the bearish forecasts on China that have been coming out from too many different sources recently to be ignored, and I'm not ignoring them. Whether they're right or not remains to be seen, and I have my doubts. But I don't see any reason why China's economy would be racing ahead beyond what we've already seen over the last couple of years at this stage, and so I don't find it at all hard to envisage a slowdown by China. I think one is almost certainly already underway. There is circumstantial evidence pointing to that. Whether we get as sharp a reaction as people are forecasting is an altogether different matter. I'm not convinced, but we can't know that. We can't know what China's economy will be doing in 2007, for instance. And the CLSA report referred to a downgrade on China's growth by that good research department. But as I say, we can't know. It's still very much of a guess. But what we can realize is that if sentiment is turning against China, it's hardly surprising given this disappointing stock market performance that it's seen, that we're quite likely to see a number of other markets affected. And the industrial metal markets are a classic example. And they had been looking tired recently and really. Although backwardations still exist for most of those metals, they are prone to periodic shakeouts, and such a period is underway right now, it seems. Previously, as you know, I've been happy to go in and buy those after shakeouts, saying that they are in secular bull markets, and I think that is very much the case. They are important supply and elasticity markets. And even if China is slowing down, India's demand is picking up, and so on. And I would expect China to be a pretty strong growth performer for some time to come. There are obvious problems. We know all about those. Or you could certainly read about them from time to time in the various reports on China that have been posted, ranging from a very weak banking sector to the command economy to water and pollution problems. But also, it's still a great industrialization story. And I think most people would be reasonably optimistic about China's growth over the next few years, and I would be among them. But we've got India coming up rapidly, and India needs a huge amount of infrastructure spending to take place because it would like to attract more foreign direct investment, and therefore it really needs to start overhauling rather the entire infrastructure of the country. So these are themes that can run for years and years and years, decades even. And I think that that will keep demand for industrial commodities very, very strong. But in the short term, they still look vulnerable. And they look vulnerable enough to me. And then there's the psychological factor of the China bearishness for me to feel that I don't really want to buy on this dip. There's also a factor that I'll be cycling in August, and so don't want to be opening up new positions before that, if I can resist the temptation. I think this time around I'm more cautious. I want to wait and see if those metals don't come down a long way instead of just getting short, sharp reactions. Then they would be outstanding buys, in my view. Okay. What else to mention in here? I haven't touched again on this Friday broadcast about the long-term cyclical bear market that I think we have on Wall Street, but that's still very much my view, and there's no evidence to suggest other than we are almost certainly in a period of mean reversion in terms of valuations. That's what secular bear markets are all about. And against that background, when Wall Street is weak, that will certainly weigh on or create a stiff headwind for other stock markets. And if also when Wall Street succumbs to periodic panicky sell-offs, we haven't seen one of those for quite a while, but when those do occur, then it's virtually inevitable that other markets will be dragged down accordingly, and perhaps even more, particularly where we're talking about high beta markets. Now, what about this US dollar influence? That's a headwind for Wall Street, because people will look at this and they'll say, strong dollar, the US will be sucking in even more imports. The deficits, current account deficit, is going to become even larger. And I think that that's quite possibly true. And of course, it also makes US assets a little bit more expensive for everybody else. So I think that's a factor behind Wall Street's underperformance in here right now, whereas a softer euro will be favorable. And this is generally for the Euroland stock markets. This is always pretty much the case. The only time a weak currency becomes a major liability is if that currency is seen to be in real crisis. But even then, the stock market performance can remain reasonably steady. There was certainly crisis talk about the US dollar last year, right up to the beginning of this year, but it didn't take a heavy toll on Wall Street, as you know. Okay, what about that bond market? Well, we certainly saw a downward dynamic in the US Treasuries in here today, so they have been finding resistance at this bond prices have been finding resistance at the early June high. I'm of the view that Greenspan's going to go on raising interest rates, and as I've said on a number of occasions, I think that he'll really be guided. Well, obviously, he's looking very closely at the economic evidence coming out of the US and what came out today. It's only the statistic du jour, but the evidence was stronger than expected, and I think Greenspan will also be very influenced by what the financial markets do, and it would take, I think, quite a sharp drop in treasury bond prices, big jump in yields, and a sharp drop by the stock market. And I think if we were to get a big rise in government bond yields, then that would certainly weigh heavily on the US stock market. Probably be a delayed reaction there, though. Delayed reaction because a weak bond market, which I expect would cause some investors to pull money out of bonds and to put them into equities. But historically, when bond yields rise a lot, you almost invariably see that drag down the stock market. So, I think Greenspan will be focusing on the financial markets as much as anything else, and we've certainly got some leeway in here before he becomes worried. So, you've seen people upgrade in the last few days their expectations in terms of interest rate hikes, whereas a month or two ago they were saying that, well, some were a minority, were saying that 3% was enough, and the majority were saying, well, maybe 3.25, 3.5 at most. Well, we are at 3.25, and people have upgraded their estimates. They're now expecting at least another couple of hikes, and I think they are right. We will see at least another couple of hikes. So that's all part of the general headwind here for Wall Street and other markets, and it should weigh on the bond market as well. And I think that's pretty much it at this stage. So I will just say have an absolutely splendid weekend. And if you're a sports fan, and particularly a sports fan who lives in England, well, my goodness, there's a lot on. So enjoy it. All the best.